Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and this is Jonathan Starkey, your favorite pub landlord. As always, I know that I'm going to get criticized for saying that, but I am, and I am what I am. Now, are we going to see
off.
Who's in?
He's off.
He's off. Oh, yes. The Gazelle. Hello. Say hello, sir.
Good evening, Cheshire.
There we go. Very quick and very easy. Now, let's see if we can do the same thing with the Raven. Hello, the Raven.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Cheshire. Hope you're having a great week. It's Christmas nearly. Hope you've had a good year. It's been a long one. Lots of things going on, but I hope we have a great new year.
See what I mean?
There we go.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I'm right. Getting there.
No, so anyway, well, getting there, that was like War and Peace as an introduction. Now, this evening, Statsman is not here because he's got a few things that he's got to deal with, and we're sorry that he's not here, but we probably get something maybe pre-recorded, you know, from him. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see.
Is this on our live show? Pre-recorded?
Yes, on our pre-recorded live show. This is the truth. Okay. Keep it going. Keep it going. Say. Oh, that's great.
Oh,
see
what's
that?
Going you know, on here? What's going
immediately
on here?
He's throwing things across the desk.
It was a poltergeist. It wasn't me. A
poltergeist. Very good. Anyway, here we go. This is the roundup from your favorite digital pub.
Hasn't
landlord.
That been banned, Roundup?
What, Roundup? No. It hasn't. Not from the digital pub landlord. There's nothing banned. Anyway, here we go. Village heat pump scheme that has cost us £250,000 per house. Can you
what?
£250,000 per house. Can you reckon that?
Is this the solution to the green?
Yes, it is. Right. But it's a true story. And I, quite literally, I wouldn't actually get involved in any of that green stuff as far as I'm concerned. Now, BLM calls for month-long boycott. Boycott of white companies for the holidays.
That is appalling.
That's a bit naughty. Emmanuel Macron calls Boris Johnson a clown and Britain a circus. I can't actually disagree with him on that one. No. Mais oui, monsieur, mais oui.
I think it's slightly disrespectful.
Sacre bleu.
Just slightly. I think it's absolutely straight to the point, to be honest with you. Pensions Secretary Therese Coffey says no snogging under the mistletoe. What?
Well, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but would you snog her?
Well, I don't understand why how I spend Christmas is any of the PM's business. That's Janet Street Porter.
Fair comment.
Well, I'm not sure that I've heard the Prime Minister talk about Janet Street Porter and what she's going to do for Christmas, but there you go. Yeah. GPs to suspend some routine medical checks to give COVID booster jabs. Now, that's a bit of a contentious issue, knowing that the GPs are going to get extra money for giving out the jabs.
£15 a jab.
Yeah, that's... Boris gets a bloody nose in Bexley. Tory majority is slashed to 4,478. Now, previous, it was massive. It was a massive majority. And the majority of England's Omicron cases are fully vaccinated. What about that one?
Well, that is quite controversial because all over the news, they're saying that the people that are in hospital are the unvaccinated. That was on the news yesterday.
Well, there is a clash of opinion there. Now, I would actually have to agree with you because mainstream media are saying that it's unvaccinated, and the figures, official figures, are showing that the people are vaccinated.
I've seen those figures.
Well.
So somebody's not telling the truth.
That's right. Now, I've got a funny feeling. I've got a funny feeling that this is all to do with the amount of vaccines that this government has purchased.
Agree.
You know, and we're talking nearly 115 million.
Yeah, and it's like 2 years' supply.
Yeah. For what? I mean, have all these people that have sanctioned these purchases, do all of these people have shares in Pfizer or Moderna?
Well, there you go.
Well, this is something to think about, because they have committed public money to purchasing, there could be a reason behind why they are actually pushing everybody to get the jabs.
Well, there's another point here that we're already told that 80% of the population now has been vaccinated. So why have we got another 2 years' supply? That's, it can only be boosters.
That's what I don't know, and the reason why. I mean, I know that every year people will go and they will have a flu jab, which is basically an annual booster. But I've never seen anything on this scale before.
No.
And I am not, and let us state quite clearly once again, we are not anti-vaccine, but we are pro-choice.
Absolutely.
And that's the reason why we speak with a little bit of concern about the way that these things are being actioned. Mm. And I'm going to give way to the maiden, because he wants to say something about this. Go on, sir.
I'd just like to say that there seems to be a complete focus here within the country and beyond on vaccines. And I don't want to detract from people's choice about whether they have a vaccine or not. But let's talk about the immune system just for a brief moment. There is a huge issue in this country in relation to obesity. It is off the scale. It really is. And general fitness and health and general well-being. And I'd like to see things taking place now to actively encourage people to dramatically take responsibility and play a participating role in improving their own health so that they are stronger in mind and body to be able to deal with things, you know. And if people choose to sort of go forward and take vaccines as well, that's their choice, that's fine.
Well, don't you think that the amount of concentration on making people get the jab, do you think they can actually concentrate the same amount of effort on checking whether those who haven't been jabbed have immunity? So you can have tests to see if you are immune to the COVID illness. You can see it, you know, you can tell. So why don't we actually do those tests on those people that haven't been vaccinated to make sure? Because they might have had COVID and are now immune to it, have built up an immunity. Does anybody want to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't fit the agenda, does it? There is an agenda behind it. Why do they want 100% of the public vaccinated?
Yeah, I agree.
There has to be an agenda.
Yeah, there's something not quite right about what's going on.
No, there isn't.
And I know. Well, let's move on to the first story, and this is with the Waven. And it's going to be about... Go ahead, the Waven.
Coco.
Oh, dear. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Do excuse my colleagues. It's just the sort of thing that they do. Now, I'm going to talk here briefly about a rather disturbing possibility in Europe. The European Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen, very popular lady.
Do you know, it sounds like something out of, you know, that film with Julie Andrews.
The Sound of Music, I'm usually saying that. Yeah.
Von der Leyen.
The hills are alive with von der Leyen.
Yes, we'll land in normal sort of proceedings in a moment, ladies and gentlemen.
Do a deer. We've jabbed him too.
Clearly not.
Ray, he's had his triple jab.
Clearly not. Ursula von der Leyen said on Wednesday it was time to think, get this, about mandatory vaccination as the fast-spreading Omicron variant darkened forecasts and deepened fears of another difficult winter. With infection rates rising, a have already seen European governments reintroduce mandatory mask wearing, social distancing measures, curfews or lockdowns in a desperate attempt to limit hospitalizations, but leaving businesses fearing another grim Christmas.
You're doing the same thing that I was doing before and you criticized me for.
I never heard it. It was perfect in my head.
Oh, I'm going to leave it in on the edit then.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are. The thing is here, what do we feel about mandatory vaccinations given the rights that were issued to people all over Europe after World War II?
Well, therein lies a big, big question. And there was somebody, I can remember a video, I don't know whether anybody saw it, of a representative of the AfD who in Germany, who was saying that, you know, you don't have to go too far back to actually start recalling about what actually happened, you know, during the war, when it was just something very, very simple. And there were simple things that came in, which quite simply, people didn't really realize what was going on. And they were looking the other way. Go ahead, Steve.
But they were introduced, like you say, step by step by step, little by little and often. And I think at the moment, with the prospect of such a proposal being given thought in Europe of mandatory vaccines in countries across the European continent, frightening. It really is. We are heading in the Western world down potentially a very dark road, and we need to put the brakes on. We need to look at what's going on, reassess the whole process, and stop and think about the consequences going forward.
Well, we're talking about people's rights. That's what we're talking about.
And the future of free societies. This goes wider than just rights. This is huge.
Yeah. Go ahead, Trevor.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned the other week that they're bringing these mandatory injections in February in Austria.
Yeah.
Again, why February? Why in 3 months' time? And again, let's see what happens. I really don't think they're going to come in.
And why is the mainstream media in this country not reporting on all the protests of people throughout Europe and in Australia?
Exactly.
That's a big, big question, because there is a lot of things going on in a lot of countries. Huge demonstrations, massive civil unrest.
Again,
and
not
we're
being
not seeing
reported.
It. We're not seeing it.
No.
And not just here, but also over in Ireland as well.
What is the reason for that?
Yeah, it's because people are not happy about what's going on. Now, I'm certain that this government are watching to see what the reactions are over in these different countries, to see what they think they may be able to get away with over in this country. But I can assure you that, and even as somebody that's accepted vaccinations in the past, I mean, you know, tetanus and all the rest of that stuff. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with vaccination. But when we're looking at something which is actually being forced with absolutely no science behind it, or no science that can actually be verified, because the figures are not showing the truth about what's going on. You've only got to look at the Omicron variant. What's going on there? Because Africa are saying, what are you getting so het up about? What's happening? They don't know. They don't understand why we're getting so worried about this variant. I mean, they've started introducing new rules, you know, for people having to actually go into isolation for when they come back, just in case. Go ahead.
There was a question in the Houses of Parliament today to Mr. Javid. And they said to him, with all the Omicron cases at the moment, because Britain's got the largest amount in Europe now, as of today, he said, who has been taken ill with this particular?
Oh, this was one of the MPs, Swain, wasn't it?
Swain, that's it. And he asked him, who is taken ill and who has been hospitalised out of these 300 cases? And he said, none.
Yep. He had to admit it.
He had to admit it. He said, none. I've been hospitalised with it.
So what's the big deal?
What's the big deal, exactly?
Also, I don't want to really say this because I wasn't one of her biggest fans during Brexit, but Theresa May has actually been saying we can't just keep on shutting down parts of the economy.
Yeah, I heard that.
Because of different variants.
Yeah.
And there he is. He's up with his pen. He's got his pen out. Would you do that in Parliament if you were an MP? Would you hold your pen up to the Speaker and the Speaker would recognise it and say, yes, Steve, we'll speak?
No, it would be a sword. I just want to say, Theresa May, I think, you know, I was no fan. I was originally until she sort of let us all down with the UK independence issue massively, but that's another story. But I think yesterday she brought the whole country to a sudden stop with a bolt of common sense.
Yes, true.
To be fair.
So does that redeem her in your eyes, sir?
Oh, no, not completely, no.
No,
she's got a way to go.
It was just so shocked that somebody's come out with common sense.
I said, what, a politician?
A politician and common sense.
Yeah, well, you know, very few and far between. Well, I don't think, and this, I would hazard a really, really firm guess here, if there's such a thing as a firm guess, that Boris is actually running scared at the moment because he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And he's not going to try to do anything which is going to cause a problem for Christmas. So I don't think there's going to be any lockdown during Christmas. I mean, it's stupidity. I mean, the guy is looking at near death in terms of the next election. I mean, he's lost the red wall for what he's been doing because he's failed on so many levels. No.
I don't think that's the case. I think there was a recent survey which put Labour 1 point ahead in a poll. And actually, the choice for preferred Prime Minister was Boris Johnson ahead of Starmer.
Well, whoever actually did that poll has got to be paid by the Prime Minister's office because I don't think anybody in their right mind... If you look at the Good Law Project and what they're doing and proving about what has gone on during the whole of the pandemic. What is it, Strava? Go ahead.
Steve suffers with the pandemic.
Yes, because he keeps on bringing his
pen up
to go and speak. There's too much corruption that's gone on now. This guy is finished, and the backbenchers know it.
This is the Christmas incident last year, that's going to rock.
That's going to rock everybody.
That's going to rock.
I'm going to come in here because let's put some perspective on this. Right now, you've got a lot of things going on everywhere, right? And it's kind of like false narratives, false stories, side distractions, lots of different things. And I'll give you an example. Today, somebody on social media locally where I live asked the question, when is Lee's Chippy going to open again? Right. So I put up, don't worry about that. There's only the prospect of war with Russia on Europe's doorstep. But don't worry about that. Just worry about Lee's Chippy. And that's the point. People are taken up with non-issues. And all of these things that have gone on the past 2 years, they will literally disappear. You might not agree, you might think they're too big, but the bottom line is there's a lot of things going on and the economy is rising and rising and rising.
Not because of the Conservatives, I can tell you.
No, go ahead, Trevor. What's the fish Brexit. Like? What's the fish like at Lee's Chippy?
That's what we want to know.
It's short.
Well, they must do nice fish if people's complaining because they're not open.
I don't know. So
you haven't sampled Lee's Chippy then?
Not for a good few years.
Oh, well, so you're commenting on it.
No.
That's historic. You're just like the police who don't actually go investigating historic events.
No, you're missing the point. He's off on one now.
I had fish today, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make the point.
It's not Friday.
No, I had to keep it with Omega 3.
I'm on a massive health thing going on at the moment. You guys want to try it?
What, fish?
No.
Look, I saw a picture. This is no joke. If you're going to talk about things like that, I saw a picture, and it was Dominic Raab dressed in a police outfit in a police station, and he's answering the phone, and it says, "Police, what's your emergency? I'd like to report a burglary. When did it happen? Next Thursday."
It's about right.
You know, it's getting to a point. That's because they won't investigate what's gone on about parties in the past. The Met Police said that, you know, they don't actually investigate retrospective things. So they're taking the Michael out of Dominic Raab. And also, did you notice that there was a whistleblower talking about the Foreign Office? And he was actually turning around and he was saying that this whole debacle in Afghanistan, getting people out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was a complete and utter farce at the Foreign Office. It makes you think that when people talk about the blob, which is, you know, the civil service, that they're telling the truth. That these people are not really fit for purpose.
Mm.
And we've got people in positions of power actually running our country that really shouldn't be in those positions.
Equally, though, Jay, as we all know, you know, this can happen in the corporate world. You can have a lot of managers, right, okay, not up to the job.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. But, I mean, it's even more important to get the right people in place, especially with this concerned. But anyway, I'm going to bring this subject to a close. I know that we diverted off the subject matter, but, you know, okay, I see your point, what you're saying about the EU Commission chief and urging countries to consider mandatory vaccines amid variant fears. You know, I just think it's a little bit authoritarian.
Well, it's a very worrying signal about where allegedly free Western countries may be heading.
Well, I think I still had the let's watch this space.
Yeah, well, you do know that in America, 50 states in America have outlawed it. They've just said, no, you're not going to force people to have vaccines, and that's it.
Oh, right, I've not seen that. That's good.
That's true.
Because it should be choice.
Well, that's it. So anyway, we're going to move on, and this is now with the gazelle. How's that grass going with the munching side?
Ooh.
Well, is this another case of Warrenation Street? Wow, 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 wow. Steve didn't join in there. Warrenation Street.
What a choir.
Okay.
This is another episode of Warrenation Street. So this week, after the Blue Bin fiasco last time, we're now moving on the buses. Whoa, remember that?
I'll get you, Butler.
Nah.
I'll get you.
Sorry, I digress on that one.
I always fancied Olive.
Oh, yeah.
She was just... it was those thick glasses that got me.
Yeah, yeah.
That was entertainment back in the day.
Oh, wasn't it? Brilliant. Yeah, so here we go. Then we've got more than 20 Warrington buses have been taken out of service after operating illegally without a valid MOT.
I hate you, Butler.
I hate you, Butler.
Yeah.
Is that down at Bowden Close?
Yeah, it's I hate you, Bowden. My question, does this not invalidate the insurance? I'm sure it does.
Oh, well, without an MOT...
You've got no insurance, have you?
Well, the question is, how long have those buses been operating without an MOT?
Well, my next
question...
And
from what date?
My next question is... Have they got any insurance?
Well, it's sure.
Well, there's a thought, yeah.
Oof! Oh. Have I got to edit that one out?
Cough, cough.
Yes.
This follows the news that over 40 bus services were cancelled in the town before 9 a.m. this morning.
Oof.
Due to operational issues.
All right. What was that? They couldn't find the drivers?
Well, they're stating that they've got a problem with drivers.
Right.
But, you know, they didn't care to mention that 20 buses were taken off the road also. But, well, we won't go on to that. Anyway, commuters described the bus service as abysmal. I was struggling with that. I couldn't get my word out. As abysmal, while others claimed elderly people were sat in the freezing cold waiting for buses that hadn't turned up.
Oh, that is wrong. Elderly people in the cold.
Elderly people.
That is just a natural conservative way.
It's a Labour-controlled council.
It doesn't matter. They all blame the Conservatives.
Well, seemingly so. Are you a member of the Labour-controlled council?
No, I'm not a member of any political party.
You seem to be joining in.
Well, can I put it this way? I have absolutely no affinity to any party. But right now, I think the Conservatives are the most corrupt organization going, and I'll state it quite publicly.
You've got no affinity to any party. Ooh. That's correct. In fact, we're still waiting for you to organise our night out in the next couple of weeks, and that is hard going, I tell you.
Well, I'm delegating it to those who can actually make those dates. Go ahead.
Yes, there we go. The council were keen to point out that they don't own the bus service. However, if you take a trip to Wikipedia, see what I did there,
take a trip.
on a bus, but you won't get a bus. It says the parent on Wikipedia is Warrington Borough Council. So I researched further into who owns Warrington's own buses on the What Do You Know website. In 1986, the company was Warrington Borough Transport. In 2006, it was rebranded as Network Warrington. I remember all this happening. And now in April 2018, it was rebranded again as Warrington's own buses.
Is it based offshore?
Well, I've not checked that yet. Are we getting confused yet?
Just a bit.
Yeah, you will. Warrington Borough Transport operates under the brand Warrington Owned Buses. Warrington Borough Council considers it wholly owns Warrington Borough Transport, which, if true, would make it subject to a freedom of information via Section 6 of the Freedom of Information Act. Warrington Borough Council owns, get ready for this, 887,999 of the 880,000 shares.
So it's Warrington Borough Council then?
In Warrington Borough Transport.
We own it, but we don't own it, but we really do.
Bleh.
So this is what I've dug up here. The one remaining share appears to be owned by an individual.
Who?
I don't know. The individual's one shareholding may take the company, not subject to a Freedom of Information request, as a company needs to be wholly owned by the public sector to be subject to the Act.
That's interesting. It's an interesting point, that, because I'll make it very, very quick point here, that, you know, during all the PPE scandals that had gone on,
oh, yeah,
that when a company was put on the fast track to PPE monies from the government, they had to actually subcontract the job to another party, which meant that there was no public scrutiny of the party that actually received the contract, because it was subcontracted out to another party. So that's the reason why you were never able to see what the actual contract was all about. So, and that was a clever thing that the government did.
This what I found out today.
Hide information.
Yeah.
Conservatives hiding information.
This is what they're doing.
And Labour are clearly transparent in everything.
Yes. No, they're not.
Who's the one
in control of the money? Who controlled the money and who gave out the money? It was the Conservative government. So you've got no argument there.
So they give it to a Labour council. They mess up and it's a Conservative's fault.
I don't care what you got to say. I've just made a point there about hiding information. Go ahead.
Well, it seems.
So what's that going to do with the Conservatives?
It seems to me that. I mean,
into your pockets. You've got a Labour card in that pocket. I don't care.
I haven't got a Labour card. I haven't. I have to tell you, Trevor, sorry to interrupt again.
No, you're okay. Go on.
Justin Madders always says that I'm a closet socialist, but I'm not. I just like a fair and level playing field.
You're in the closet over something.
Common sense. Go ahead, Trevor.
Yeah, I mean, this is my point over this. You know, this is clever, isn't it? You know, they've obviously done this. They're hiding something.
Yeah, they're hiding something. There's no two ways about it.
One share out of 880,000.
Yeah.
Some person, some individual has got one chair. What the hell is going on in my town? Plans were approved for a new state-of-the-art depot to replace the current depot in July 2021. It will be located on Dalham Lane, and Warrington Borough Council approved the complex land exchanges and finance for the project.
Yeah.
Estimated at around £10 million again. Just another quick point. From the 27th of June 2010, and I didn't realise it was that long because I remember this happening as well, budget cuts from Warrington Borough Council resulted in evening services being reduced and Sunday evening services being completely withdrawn. Now, they have never gone back since 2010.
Wow.
Which brings me on to the main point. Warrington is at present bidding for city status yet again. It has no regular bus service. It has its Labour council leader appearing in court at the end of the year. And the finale, we're £1.7 billion in debt and growing. I think we need to learn how to run a town before we start running a city.
Are you sure this is not a Conservative-run council in Warrington?
Well, it might be.
I think this is completely unfair. Let's point out Warrington is Labour-controlled. We all know
it
this.
Is definitely Labour-controlled. Yeah,
it is. But they could be taking lessons from the Conservatives. Okay? They could be taking lessons. Well, I mean, because with that amount of debt, I mean, look at the Conservatives and the amount of debt that they put us in. Right?
Yeah.
And how much of the bounce back loans have now been determined as false because the government didn't put in enough measures to make sure and to check that the people who were getting it were the right people.
Exactly.
Right, it's bad news.
Another scandal on its way.
It is. It's going to happen. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, let's dump it all on Boris and make him pay for the rest of his life. Because, my God, that guy he's responsible for so much. I'm sorry, but I was warned about him. I have to tell you, I was warned about him because I was very pro Boris and the Conservatives when he first came in.
When you say you were warned about him, did somebody tell you he was about to knock on your door first thing this morning?
No, they told me that the guy is a clown. And I'm not talking about Macron. I'm talking about somebody else. He was a captain of industry. Captain of industry. And he made it very clear to me that he said, you do realise that this guy's a clown and that you're going to be regretting everything that this guy's doing. Well, I have to say, Robert, and this is a message to you, Robert, you were right. This guy is a clown, and he has cost us so much money, and it doesn't matter what this guy does now, he is never going to gain credibility again.
Well, what we're looking at now, he's not been in 2 years. He's the same, isn't he?
Oh, God. Unbelievable. Go ahead, Steve.
Actually, I want to bring a little bit of sensibility to this because...
Sensibility? I'm talking sense. This,
no,
Trevor,
I'm not
how
saying
much, how much money have been wasted? Right? 37 billion on test and trace?
I'm not talking about that. I'm not disputing that at all. That's not what I'm saying. The point I'm making is, in this country, at every area of life, and we've had this discussion perhaps 3 or 4 times on the show, actually, which is we now need, in politics, business, churches, all areas of life where there are people in positions of responsibility, we need something called leadership and a return to strong, sensible leadership. And we need to return to that good old-fashioned phrase, traditional values, and get things running properly in this country right across the board.
Well, I tell you, this guy is traditionally crap at his job. That's it, full stop.
Didn't another Conservative try that? John Major?
Yeah.
What was it? Back to the family or something?
Yeah. Back to basics.
Well, to cry Margaret Thatcher as much as some may, the fact of the matter is, in terms of leadership, she was there.
Oh, yeah.
She was an exceptional leader, and whether people liked her policies or not, that's a separate matter. But she put this country on the world... for leadership.
Yeah, on the world map. Yeah, I'll go with that. But not this guy. This guy is definitely a clown.
Well, his other five wives thought that, and his 49 children. So we will be paying for the rest of his life.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Well, we're gonna walk on, and we're going to walk the plank. We're going to get on. And now, because Stats is not here this evening, I'm just going to give a brief mention to what his woke the plank is. And his woke the plank is that BLM urges a boycott of white companies during Christmas. And I'm thinking, why? Why are they boycotting a white Christmas? I mean, what is wrong with a white Christmas? I mean, what colour is white as snow?
Well, to me, this is completely divisive. It goes against the spirit of Christmas. And actually, you know, let's call it out for what it is. It's racist.
Well, from that point of view, I would agree with you. Right? The movement has urged people to stand against white supremacist capitalism. All right. Now, do black people not purchase from shops?
Good point.
You know, I mean...
So, sorry, if people of different ethnicity own a business and own a shop, that's okay then, to be involved in capitalism.
They're urging people to purchase items via black-owned businesses from Black Friday through to Christmas and New Year's. We're dreaming of a black Xmas. That means no spending with white companies from the 26th of November to the 1st of January 2022.
I think it's a time now for public authorities in this country to seriously question whether they openly support this awful organisation.
Well, there's something dreadfully wrong about it. Dreadfully
wrong. They're too busy just finding people for not wearing a mask, aren't they?
Well, that's one of the other things. You know, I mean, I think it's so short-sighted. I mean, I have passed a comment because we have the bandwagoners like PRS for Music jumping on, you know, Mobo, which Steve asked me about earlier on, and that's music of black origin. And they're congratulating, you know, PRS members who are black members. And I've just suddenly realised, and I put a tweet up that said, why... If the Brits are dispensing with gender, why don't we dispense with colour?
Good music is good music.
It's good music.
Irrespective.
I mean, nobody thinks of Earth, Wind and Fire as black. They just think of it as good music.
Of course it is.
It's as simple as that. Nobody thinks as Michael Jackson is black. They think, you know... They basically think that's great music. I mean, that's all those things. Luther Vandross, all those people, all those artists. Nobody actually sits down and looks at colour. They listen to the music and they think, great. That's good music.
Yes, great. You know, exactly.
It's as simple as that. So
it is as simple as that.
Well,
I wish these people would stop hijacking things.
Well, okay. Well, then that is Stats's Woke the Plank. Stats's Woke that's the Plank. And I'm going to move on to public figure of the week, which is, as editor, Stats is. He said to me, could you do this one? Well, this is Janet Street Porter. And I can't do an impression of her because I haven't got the teeth. Not only do I not trust Boris to save Christmas, but I don't understand why, where, how, or who I spend December the 20th with. 25th with is any business of his or his army of fear mongering little helpers.
There you go.
You know, she's saying that his actions regarding Christmas are too intrusive. Mask wearing has been reinforced following a handful of Omicron variant cases. Santa Boris has reinvented himself as man whose prime mission is to save Christmas. I mean, did Christmas need saving?
He's got the bill for it.
Yes. Prime Minister has promised booster jab centres will pop up all over the country. And Janet now asks, why should Christmas even be under threat in the first place? What the hell is all this all about? You know, what's it got to do with Boris? This is just too much.
There's a very important measure that people can follow to save Christmas.
Go ahead.
Practice socialist distancing.
Socialist. Well, in actual fact, yes, I could go with that. I could go with that. It's especially infuriating, she says, because the decision to reintroduce pathetically semi-useless face masks was issued by a master of the double standard, a bloke who is known to loathe face coverings, who couldn't even be asked to set an example by wearing one for lunch on Monday, the day after he'd taken to his presidential podium to issue new restrictions. Now, you know who he's talking about there, or who she's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, so it's as simple as that.
The same one who didn't wear one in a mask in hospital, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. So, you know, she's saying, you know, basically, who the hell is he? And especially after this revelation of the Christmas parties. Ooh, Trevor, what do you think about that?
It's just shocking. It's absolutely shocking. Did you see the video that was released earlier?
You know, that was Allegra Stratton.
Allegra Stratton. They were. It wasn't that. It was the fact that the whole of them that were there were laughing. It was a joke. We didn't have a party. It was a cheese and wine meeting.
Well, what about all the people?
And we didn't social distance.
What about the people who couldn't actually go to their loved ones' funerals because of the social distancing?
Well, this is the seriousness of this particular situation. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to bring that to a close and we're going to go on. Do you hear that? The COVID kid has just coughed.
Oh, yeah. Omicron.
Omicron, yeah. Yeah, I spoke to an African lady the other day. I must have caught it from her.
That's where you got it from. Yeah,
that's where I got it from.
Was it over the phone? Because my doctor does that, just in case she catches it over the phone as well.
He's doing this, by the way, from the cupboard.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to go on because... There it is. The bells have come in. Steve, get up to the bar. Get up to the bar. Mark's not here.
The bells.
It's that sounds like an old-style fire engine, that noise.
There's a fire in the house. Fire in the house. Get up to the bar.
No, we've got to get outside for the fire alarm call.
Oh, get lost. Mr. Health and Safety.
I keep expecting to hear something Barney McCrew.
Barney McCrew.
I can't remember it now.
I got
Cuthbert Suburb.
Drew. Barney McGew.
I'm going to Google that.
And find out what it is.
Find out what it is. I'll bring it back next
Well,
week.
Okay, let's go. Let's go with the shout outs or shout downs. And we're going to go with the Gazelle first. Go on, Gazelle.
Oh, my shout down. This Omicron scaremongering in the media. I'm sick to death of hearing about it. Is it important? Of course it's important. Are they over exaggerating? Of course they are.
Yeah.
There's an agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it.
That's it. I'm just...
Okay.
I'm sick of hearing about it.
Omni-crap. Okay?
Omni-crap.
All right. We're going to go with... The Raven. Go on, The Raven.
The Raven. Are you going to be sensible this week?
I'm going to try.
At some point.
All right, The Raven. Go ahead.
Right, so first of all, I've got a shout out and then a shout down.
What, you're taking two?
He's doing it again.
He's just going. He's just going for airtime. That's all he's doing. No, it's because Stats is not here. Stats would actually stamp on you now for that.
Actually, Mark, in his absence, emailed me, right?
What, and said you could take his slot?
I could do a shout-out and a shout-out.
Yeah, I don't believe you. Show us the proof. Show us the email. I think this is going to come out. This is going to be a revelation because I know Mark wouldn't do that because he wants to shut him up every week.
Well, you'll have to submit a Freedom of Information request, right, which will go down the wishing well.
All right.
So, anyway, the first one is...
We've not used that for a while.
No, we haven't.
First one is a shout-out, and it's the two Cheshire schools... For coming in the top 10 of schools in the Sunday Times, and the first one is Lower Peavers Primary School near Knutsford, was in the top 10 independent secondary schools list, and the Grange School in Northwich was ranked highly in the primary school list. So a big well done to them for being recognised and doing well in the results. There.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Excellent. Now, what's your shout down? Quick.
Well, my shout down, strangely enough, it's to Mr. Chris Matheson.
Oh, what a surprise. And a shout down to Mr. Chris Matheson, MP of Chester.
A Labour MP.
A Labour MP.
Well, actually, he's done a nice little thing in a way, which he's been encouraging people.
Well, he's resigned.
No, on a video to support Chester shops and buy local, which is actually what we were doing.
That was quite a slick video, that.
Yeah, it was all right, actually. Yeah, he's obviously been listening to us. And, you know.
So he's been. Should we do a spoof on him? Should we go around and do a spoof on Mr. Matheson?
Oh, don't be naughty. Well, yeah, we'll start next week.
That'd be an idea. Then.
So he was promoting Chester businesses and saying to people, shop local at Christmas. Now, bear in mind, we were all doing this last Christmas. Nonetheless, he's been doing that, banging the drum for Chester. You know, it's a nice little touch. But in the video, which I found a little bit hilarious, he was talking about our city's history and heritage. And I find this somewhat galling.
Well, he was a Remainer.
So he clearly wanted to sell the entire country out down the river in 2016.
The Romans didn't exist.
No. It was sweep the whole history and heritage and culture of this country off the cliffs of Dover and hand it over to Brussels. But now he's talking about history and heritage. And I just find it, to be polite about it, rather vomit-inducing, to be quite frank.
Did he mention anything about the steps near Watergate Row?
Oh, the ones that have got to be, you know, replaced. Those damn Romans.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, those damn Romans.
Apparently, Trevor, you're on film and it's shown at the local council meetings. Your entertainment.
There he is, he's falling downstairs.
There he goes again. Yeah. I'm there, showing my forward roll.
Right, okay. Well, it's me, and I want to actually shout down. I want to shout down Virgin, because I have never come across such a pathetic bunch of absolutely, totally ambiguous people.
I can second that.
You know, they promise the world, and they don't deliver. And I'm going to give more information on this as we go along with the other podcasts. I have to say, it's nothing to do with customer services. It's the policy of these people. These people are, let's just say that, you know, we need the bleeper to come on. But these people are BS.
I don't do business with them. I never have done. And I certainly won't after Mr. Branson's Brexit stance. So away you go, Virgin. I'll never deal with you.
Well, I think they're bull. And there you go. That gives
you
straight.
Did you hear what he said?
I second that.
They are bull.
Yep.
Absolutely. So he's there you go. So, and I'm going to make sure that the PR department gets this. And then I'm actually in the next podcast, I'm going to tell people why that they are bull. Yes. There you go. Anyway. So we're going to go on now, and we are now in to the end of the show. I know it's sad. And because we haven't had stats here, we've missed you, stats. We have really missed you.
Miss you, stats.
Yeah, missed you.
Miss you, Mark. Really do.
Oh, little bit of affection there coming out. Okay, well, we're now on to the end of the show, and we're going to go with... Who are we going to go with first? Who's catching my eye first? Oh, it's got a bit... Well, I threw my glass eye out, and Trevor caught it first. Go on, Gazelle.
I walk around like everything is fine, but deep down, inside, my shoe, my sock is sliding off.
Strangely off, I never come across these quotes in any books I read.
He makes them up. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, really?
Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
Yeah, mine this week is a quote. And it says this. First, they ignore you. Then they laugh at you. Then they fight you. Then you win. Mahatma Gandhi.
Well, it does happen. Well, my usual quote this week is, thank God that's all over. And I am absolutely certain that Stats would have come up with something funny. Obviously not as funny as you, the Gazelle. Okay? But there you go. So, that's the end of the show.
He's not here to defend himself.
What do you mean? He is here to defend himself. He's right there in front of me.
No, Mark.
What do you mean, Mark?
You're saying that he wouldn't be as funny as Trevor?
Yeah, well, how do you know he would have been? Because he always admits he's not as funny as Trevor's quotes.
Yeah, but he's not here to defend himself. That's not the point.
Say that again.
I thought that's the best time to attack him when he's not here.
Don't say anything. Well, I thought that was a good show without him.
It's pretty ruthless here, isn't it?
Isn't it?
He's got to do it, hasn't he?
Should have heard what we said about you last week.
Yeah. Oh, God.
My ears were on fire.
Yes, without a shadow of a doubt.